بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. ما شاء الله. Request all the brothers that are sitting towards the back and the gaps that are in between. Let us come forward, inshallah. Let us fill up all the gaps, inshallah. Inshallah, those that are sitting towards the back, those that are excused, they are with old, they're sitting on the chairs, they can sit on the sides. But the rest of us, inshallah, fill up the gaps. Let's sit closer together, inshallah. When we sit together, closeness in our bodies and closeness in our hearts and our fikr also will be one. So alhamdulillah, the Islahi Jalsa has begun and we heard the importance of tazkiyah. That is to reform, correct ourselves, beautify our hearts, correct our souls. So in one ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ وَأَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That the believers tell them that they should lower some of their gazes and they should protect and look after their private areas. And this is more pure for them. So one gauge where we can see where are we, what is our level of our tazkiyah, purification of our heart, is by seeing that how do I use my gaze, how do I use my eyes. This great ni'mat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, our eyes, if we had to be without it, how difficult life would have been. Each one of us probably knows someone who's blind, who cannot see. So from he wakes up until he goes to sleep, each step of the way is dependent on someone. People who are born blind, even if they have to get married, they haven't enjoyed seeing their children, haven't seen their parents, they don't know what a blue sky is, what does the green grass, what does that mean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these eyes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that we should use these eyes in a certain way. So with these eyes, and similarly with every ni'mat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we either use it correctly, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making our akhirat, or we use it in the incorrect manner, displeasing Allah, breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this eyes is also very, very important. And in this zamana, this time, this age, where the usage of the eyes to make it correct is so difficult, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties and favors upon a person who will protect and look after his gazes even more. Hazrat Hakim Saab, rahimahullah, we heard that he was once in reunion. So recently Maulana Ilyas Ishaq was also here. I remember as he was leaving, he told us, he said, you people don't know what you'll have. This and he's staying here in Azharville, don't know what environment you have. So he was standing outside the house where he was staying. He said, when I have to walk from this house to the masjid to do imamat, so much of fitna I have to pass by. And he mentioned also when Hazrat came, then Hazrat also, his whole bayan was about protection of the eyes, protection of the gaze. So Hakim Sahib told the people there, that you see, there's so much of fitna around here, and it's so difficult to look after the gaze, but you don't have to worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is distributing, certificates of halawat-e iman, of sweetness of iman, wholesale. Because when a person looks after his gaze, a person gives up the wrong gaze for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it has been narrated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in exchange for that, I will give the person such sweetness that he will experience it and he will feel it. So Hazrat Hakim Saad said, don't become worried and say, how are we going to protect ourselves? But you should take it as an opportunity that Allah is wholesale distributing certificates of the sweetness of Iman. And Hazrat Hakim Saad passed away 15, 16 years ago. Allah Ta'ala fell his qabr with nur. And Hazrat always explains to us that it was Hazrat Hakim Saab who brought to our attention this great bimari that by and large people are involved in. So 15, 16, now we know how much more this fitna has become widespread. A person, so let's say we are in the Khanqah, we are in the Islahi Jalsa, so there's no woman around us. A person goes in Jamaat, he's in the masjid, a person goes for itikaf, he's staying in the masjid, students in the madrasa. Or normally also we're at home, we come back from work, there's no fitna. In previous times, a person would be safe. We'd say stay in your home, we'd say stay in a good place. But now we know with the cell phone, even when you don't want to look, it will pop up, it will come. So much more effort has to be made now that we have to look after our gaze and keep our gazes pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who will look after his gazes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this person, as we said, with the halawat of iman, the sweetness of iman. He'll get enjoyment in ibadat. When he reads Quran, when he performs salah, he'll taste the enjoyment. But a person who doesn't look after his gaze, then this enjoyment will be taken out from him. Now every ibadat is a burden. It becomes difficult for a person. So one is a dini harm a person will get also. A person through not looking after his gaze, he's deprived of so many avenues of ibadat. He cannot now wake up for tahajjud. He finds it difficult. One gaze he cast, and he's deprived of this. Besides that, the dini harms are there, but dunyavi harms also a person will have to undergo. As it explains very nicely, he says that a person who looks around and is not protecting his gaze, so now the example of this person is like someone who went to work and every day his wife packs for him lunch. So they're not so wealthy, so he has simple lunch, dal roti, or like in Afas in South Africa, bread butter. So this is his lunch. Now when he goes to work, he's sitting, he opens his lunch tin. His friends, they come from wealthy homes, one got biryani, one got roast chicken. So he's eating their biryani, they're offering him, eat with us also. So he's eating somebody's biryani, somebody's roast. He's eating. Now when he goes back home, at the end of the day, he ate so much. His wife, she prepared, she slogged, she also made for him again dal roti. So she presents that dal roti before him. Now tell me, will this person want to eat? He's full. He's eaten all of that tasty food. Where is he going to enjoy the simple dal roti that his wife has prepared for him? So in a similar way, a person who will be looking at all the dolled up beauties of this world, his wife will no more remain attractive to him. On the other hand, a person who will look after his gaze, he will keep his gaze only for his wife. Allah has given me this wife. She sacrificed so much for me. How can I look at anyone else? The secretary is trying to impress him, someone else trying to impress him, or not even trying to impress him, but he looks after his gaze. His wife will be the most beautiful woman in his eyes. His eyes won't go anywhere else. There was one, so that is one of the benefits, dunyawi benefits that we'll get, that our wives will become attractive to us. As it says, you don't have to now get a person is having problems in his marriage, there's no more love, no more spark between husband and wife. They're not enjoying their marriage anymore. He says, you don't have to go and trade in your wife and get a new model now. Just correct your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple things you do correctly, Allah will bring that love back in your marriage. So look after your gaze. A person will get honor in this world also by looking after his gaze. Once you are in Jamaat, so there was one Palestinian brother, he gave us a muzakara. So he said that when he was returning home, coming through the border from the land border from what they call Israel into Palestine. So this is a Jewish ploy that they've put women everywhere. And if you think of it, everywhere there's women. To sell a car, there's women. To sell a toothpaste, there's women. To sell tires, there's women. To sell boots which you use in the work, there'll also be women. Everywhere they've used women. Why? Because they understand these are the snares that Shaitan has, that Shaitan captures us with. So the Jewish, they also in their at the counters where they check your visa and passport control, they also generally they will have women working there. So he says that once when I was returning, the first counter there was a woman. So I wasn't looking at her. So she addressed me, Sheikh Mahmoud. So I said yes. So she said, are you Sheikh Mahmoud? I said yes. So she said, why are you not looking at me? So he said, because you're not my wife, you're not my daughter. So she said, okay. She took his passport and she gave it to the next seller. She said, go next door. So he went to the next seller. She also was a woman. So the same thing, he said, same conversation happened. So then they gave it to the third teller. The same thing happened. Finally they stamped him and let him go through. So he says, as he passed through, he was now collecting his luggage. He'd come back from Umrah. So getting his bags and that. And another brother came through, dressed like a pious person, a sheikh. That person came and he hugged him. And he told him that, wallahi, you have passed and I have failed. So he said, what you saying? So he said, I was behind you in the queue. When I went, they asked me, what do you do? So I said, no, I'm a sheikh. So they said, no, you're not a sheikh. That one who passed, he's a sheikh. So even the non-Muslims, they understand and realize, and they understand who's the true people, those who will look after their gazes. So my respected elders and brothers, we have to look after our gazes, we have to make this effort to look after our gazes and keep it pure. And all, nowadays, after Jummah, we were sitting with Maulana Musa, Masajid Ahmad Barakat, and he was explaining to us some of the halat of the ummah, and he said that the basis of everything, all of these problems we hear, and all of these fitnas, is it starts off by not looking after the gaze. If a person doesn't look, he doesn't think, he doesn't desire, he makes no effort. You look, now your mind goes towards that, now your heart goes towards that. Hazrat Anwar Rahimullah, someone complained to him, said that I can't protect my gazes, it's very difficult for me. I feel a lot of hurt and it's painful. So Hazrat said, okay, tell me that this difficulty you go through, this mental anxiety you go through, this parishani you go through, if you look and if you don't look, let's see, if you look at a woman, when a woman comes in front, then what happens to you after that? So he says, then for 3 days, my mind is thinking of that woman and I'm parishan. And he says, if you don't look, how long does this parishani come? He says, it's for 10-15 minutes, then I forget about it. So Hazrat says, you yourself can see and understand now, what will be better for you, to look or not to look? So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that how we can protect our gazes. So it's easy to speak about, but to do it, that is the real thing. Karna ye hai asal cheez. So how to do it? Allah, subhanallah, in this ayat, Hazrat explains to us that Allah Ta'ala says that, say to the believing men that they should lower some of the gazes. Allah Ta'ala didn't say you must keep your gaze down all the time. You're driving now, also you must look down. You're walking, also you must look down. You're going to bump into the wall, bump into something. No. Allah Ta'ala says some of your gaze you must lower. So you can look at 99% of the things in the world. You can look at the sky, you can look at the mountains, look at your children, look at your wife, look at your parents, look at your friends, look at your siblings. So many things to look. Just 1%, Allah Ta'ala is saying, just that 1%, don't look at it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. That how will a person protect himself from this here? There's no sheikh that can protect us, or when we are with our wives, to some extent, then we are under control. And a person who looks after his gaze, his wife, she's the one who knows this is the most. You look after your gaze, you get respect in the eyes of your wife. But your gaze is going this way and that way, your wife, she notices. And the respect of that she has for you, that will also go out from her heart. So there's not going to be someone with us all the time. The way we can protect our gaze is we have to have the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. We have to be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. Inna Allah khabirun bima yasnaun. Allah is fully aware of what you're doing. In one share of Hazrat Hakim Sahab, he says that, kaash ke koi mujhe bata de, kaash ke koi mujhko bata de, ke meri nazaron par unki nazar paas aati. If only someone had told me that over my gaze is the gaze of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That looking and watching upon me at all times is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives an example. He says that if a person wants to do something wrong, wants to do a filthy act, but there's a small child, 5 years old, 6 years old, he won't do it in the presence of that child. So seeing that Allah, I'm all the time in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I look, nobody is going to see, but Allah is seeing. If I don't look also, nobody will know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely will know. I will go in leaps and bounds closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the main way to get this gazes of ours under control is to get the realization that Allah is looking at me all the time. Daily we should take out some time, make this muraqabah, where Allah ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does my banda not know? Does my banda not know that I am looking at him? Whatever good we do, Allah is seeing. whatever wrong we are doing, we are alone in solitude, wife is sleeping, children are sleeping, I'm busy with the cell phone, I'm under the blanket looking at work, nobody else knows, I'm gone to a foreign place, nobody can see me. But أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that I am looking at him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us. And the second prescription we can use, as it says, is that there was once he was giving a bayan and explaining the importance of salah and the different postures of salah and how salah will regulate our whole life. If our salah becomes correct, then our whole life will become correct. A person who's on time for salah, then he's on time for everything in life. A person who's calm in salah, he's calm in life. A person who's in a hurry in his salah, in his life, he's also in a hurry. So, Hazrat says that then Allah Ta'ala put it in his heart. He said that if a person looks after his gaze in salah, and consciously he looks where he's supposed to look in salah. Now this is not farad or wajib, it's a mustahab, a nafil. But through the barakat of that, by looking after your gaze in salah, and looking where you're supposed to look. For example, when we're standing, then the place we're supposed to look is at the place where we're going to make sajda. So consciously, we make this intention and we look at where I'm going to make sajda. When a person is in ruku, then we look at our feet, at our toes. And when we are in sajda, we look at the top of our nose. Obviously, we can't see the top of our nose, but we focus in that direction. When we're sitting in qada, then we look at our lap. So if a person will do this, that is, he'll look consciously where he's supposed to in salah, then the barakat of that is out of salah, his gaze will also come under control. Out of salah, his gaze will also come under control. He'll only look where he's supposed to look. So Hazrat says, then there was one friend, one brother, who was also involved a lot in dini work, used to go in jamaat, etc. So after that he came and he said that, you know, for many years I used to suffer from this. I couldn't look after my eyes. And it became so much, and I couldn't control myself to such an extent that I even made a second nikah. I thought maybe this will sort it out. He says, but still I couldn't control my eyes. And now after I heard the bayan, after 1-2 weeks, my eyes, I made amal upon it, and alhamdulillah now my gaze is in control. So we look in salah where we're supposed to look. The barakat of that is out of salah, our gaze will also come under control. And the third thing we can do also is connected to this is we look at what we're supposed to look. Then Allah, it's a saying in Arabic that a good deed, al-hasanatu tajlibu al-hasana, a good deed pulls another good deed. So one very important thing is we look in the Quran and read, to make tilawat of the Quran. And in the last majlis also, Hazrat also spoke about the importance of tilawat, that the recitation of Quran, tilawat of Quran is such a vital, such an important part of our life. Now all of us, we came for our islah, for our tazkiyah, we all have to ask ourselves that how much of tilawat and how much do I recite the Quran on a daily basis? We complain that there's so much of fitness and there is so much of fitness. And what is the way out of this fitness? In one riwayat, Hazrat Sheikh has narrated that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, that nazala Jibreel faqala innaha satakunu fitanun. That Jibreel alayhi salam came and said that there will be fitnas that will come about. And then he was asked that, وَمَا الْمَخْرَجُ مِنْهَا? What is the way out of all of these fitnas? So then Jibreel alayhi salam said that Kitabullah, that the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who will hold onto the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one Nabi of Allah, most probably it was Daniel alayhi salatu wasalam, as the Sheikh has quoted also, he told his people that the person who will recite the book of Allah, he will be in a fort protected from all the fitnas of shaitan. So daily we have to take our time to make tilawat of Quran. The person who will recite Quran, Allah Ta'ala will guide this person, Allah will guide his thinking. There's so much of goodness in Quran. There was one youngster who went to study in England, Arab youngster. So this was many years ago when there was no cell phones, etc. He used to love to recite a lesson to Quran. So he used to play recitation of Quran on his CD player. So sometimes he would also invite few friends home and they would listen to Quran. Allah make it such that we can have such people nowadays. We can also become like that. That we take in our free time, we listen to Quran. Let us ask ourselves, where do we even have free time, or what do we use our free time in nowadays? So on one such occasion, he had invited a few friends over and they ate, and then they were listening to Quran. So there was a knock on the door. When he opened the door, there was a lady, and she said that, can you turn the volume down because you are disturbing me. So he said, he apologized. He said, sorry, please forgive us. And he closed the door. So they put it a little soft, but they were thinking, it's not like really loud. Why is she taking offense? After a few minutes, again she knocked on the door. And she said that, can you please stop doing what you are doing? You are disturbing me. So he stepped out of his flat and he closed the door and stood with her. And then he said, see, I can't hear anything. There's no sound coming. I don't know how you're saying that I'm disturbing you. So she insisted, no, you have to stop what you are doing. You are disturbing me. So he said, what do you mean I'm disturbing you? She said, no, I'm busy with my prayer. So he said, what prayer are you doing? So she said, I worship the devil. So he said, okay, show me. So she took him to her place, and she had some bones, and she was making that ibadah. The tilawat of Quran, not even the original tilawat of Quran, tilawat through a CD, was having an effect on her worshipping, doing whatever ibadat and whatever worship she was doing. So the Quran is so powerful. In the time of the Ottoman Empire, there was a British spy that was sent to spy on the Turks, on the Ottomans. And also, the Ottoman Empire, we heard the story that how did the Ottoman, for up to 500 years, they ruled over the Islamic lands. So it's mentioned that how did they get power? There was one pious person who one night, he noticed that a page of the Quran was lying on the floor. So he picked it up and he dusted it and he looked after it and held it up for that night. And in lieu of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his family gave them, so to say, in lieu of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the Ottomans to come about. So through respect of the Quran, a person will get so much. Hazrat Maulana Badri Alam Mirti rahimahullah was a very pious sheikh from our mashayikh who passed away in Medina Munawwara. So it is mentioned about him that on many occasions when they opened his grave, they found that his body was still fresh, intact. So they have some rule there after a few times, three or four, whatever it is. After opening a grave, if the body is still intact, then they seal it permanently and they don't rebury in there. So somebody asked his son that, in your view, tell me, why did your father get this great honor that Allah Ta'ala preserved and kept his body intact after his death? So his son, he said, I can think of one very outstanding quality of my father, and that was that he had great respect for a hafiz of the Quran. If even a young boy was a hafiz of the Quran, he would show great honor and respect to him. If he was sitting with his legs stretched out and a hafiz came in, then he would fold his legs. So to have respect for the Quran, to have honor for the Quran, this is also so important. So this British spy, he came to Turkey to spy. So he took accommodation in one building. After some time, the owner of that, the owner of that building came and told him that, since you've come in here, I've noticed there's lots of darkness that has come about. And I'm thinking, that what is the reason for this darkness? I see you don't attend the morning prayer and you don't recite the Quran. So if you want to stay in my apartment, you have to be there for the morning prayer and you must recite Quran. So the spy, he was a non-Muslim. He had to now attend the morning Fajr Salah. And after Fajr, he would sit with the Quran for some time, acting like he's reading Quran. So he says that through this year, the truth and the belief of Islam slowly started entering in my heart, until such a time came when he accepted Islam. So he went to spy. Through the barakat of Quran, he became a Muslim. Recently, one of our satis came back from Jamaat. They spent 40 days in Natal area. So he was giving us one karguzari. They went for ghusl to one home, and there the mother or the father, one of them was a Muslim and left Islam or was not a Muslim. So he says that we were there. So the young child who was there, we told the boy that, okay, you read Quran. So he read Quran. And then they said another boy, he can sing very nice. We told him, you read a Naat Sharif. So he read a Naat, praise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he say we gave little bit targheeb through the barakat of tilawat of Quran, the dhikr and mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and little bit of encouragement. He says that that other parent was ready now to enter and come into the fold of Islam. So the tilawat of Quran will take out all the darkness from our hearts. In the time of when Corona was happening, so we heard this also from Hazrat Ahmed Barakatum, that there was one youngster who was confused. That must we follow the protocols, must we follow these people who say we must do these things, or other ulama are against it. So his friend told him, okay, you know what, do me a favor, every day just read Surah Kahf. And if you can't read Surah Kahf, read 10 ayat of Surah Kahf. Read the beginning, read the end, 10 ayat of Surah Kahf. The youngster started reading Surah Kahf, 10 ayat daily, and he says in a few days, I was convinced that all of these protocols and all of these things is wrong. Those ulama are against it, they are 100% correct. So through the recitation of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen our heart. Allah ta'ala will make us strong. Quran, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's a shifa for the sicknesses of our heart. Quran is also a shifa for our bodily sickness. There's one hafiz, we finished here in the madrasa. When the madrasa, in the beginning days, he's elderly now. So he was diagnosed with cancer from Azadvar. So I heard the story, someone told us that he tried many types of treatment and this and that, and finally nothing was working. He resigned himself that, you know what, now I'm going to pass away. He was a hafiz, so he just, so to say, shut himself up at home and started reading Quran, reading Quran, reading Quran. Subhanallah, he got complete shifa. He's now healthy, hale and healthy. He comes for salah every day. So I heard the story, and one day we were at his house visiting Munaqat. So I asked him, so he was shy. He said, no man, where you heard the Shabbat? Come and tell you, Quran has shifa in it. Quran has shifa in it. So whatever niyat we read the Quran was, if we have yaqeen, we heard of some pious people, that when someone would come to them for ta'weez, so they would think of any ayat that's connected to that. And we tell them, recite this ayat, or write this ayah, and through the barakat of Quran, Allah would give shifa. So, very important. So as we were saying, to look after our gaze, look at the Quran, look inside the Quran and read. Daily take out some time and read Quran. MashaAllah, there's some people who read so much of Quran. Ma Musa was telling us of Ma Ahmed Suleiman, who is an imam in Botswana, his grandmother. So his grandparents, most probably both of them, were Bi'atu Ma Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahimahullah. And in fact, his grandfather got, Ma'atani wanted to give him Khilafat, but he refused. He said that I'm not worthy of it. And then they came to South Africa. His grandmother used to read a lot of Quran. Ma said that when she was sick and she was in hospital, someone came to visit her. So she complained. She said that nowadays I'm not managing to read enough Quran. I'm only reading 10 paras of Quran. Then Qari Abdul Rahman Ishaq, he said that it is mentioned that in the Qabristan where she passed away, after some time there was a very good smell coming. So people traced, where is the smell coming? And they saw it's coming from her qabr. So through the barakat of reciting Quran. So mashallah, there are people that are reading so much of Quran, but we shouldn't lose courage. If we are unable, we are weak. Those of us that are reading, we should try at least one para every day, one juz of Quran every day. And those of us that are not reading, start with a few pages. Open the Quran, look inside, think to yourself, that this is the kalam, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi recited this. It was protected, preserved from Jibreel alayhi salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has come down the exact words. I am able to recite it. You can't find anything in the world that can match this Quran. There's no speech, there's no book in the world that is similar to this Quran. This is the kalam of my Rabb. All other miracles that were given to Anbiya alayhi salam, they ceased, they came to an end. But this miracle that is, was given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a living miracle. So look at the Quran and read, even if it is a few pages. And see, when we start reading, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to read more and more of the Quran. So all of us make niyat inshallah. So all of these things to bring it into our lives. One is we try, we make niyat, but we're weak. We all know we are weak. To look after our gaze, we try, then we fail. It happens. One day, 2 days, it's right. Then again, so to say, our alignment is gone off. You know? Instead of going straight, looking at the wife, we're looking at the sister-in-law. So we need to fix up our alignment. We make niyat to read Quran. We read for 1-2 days, then it's gone. So how can we bring this? An easy way to bring this into our lives is to connect ourselves to a pious person. to connect ourselves to a pious person, a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The suhbat and company that we will keep has a great effect on us. So one two incidents, Hazrat himself mentioned, he says that when I was young, I used to feel that when Ramadan is going to be in summer, you know, to fast in the short days was difficult. When Ramadan is going to be in summer, how am I going to fast? It's going to be so difficult. He says, but then through the barakat of connecting myself to my Shaykh, he says that even nafil fast became easy for me. Even nafil fast became easy for me. And then Hazrat gives his kar guzari, he says that when I was coming back from India after studying, so I came, we returned by ship. And a young boy alone on the ship, and all types of fitna available. Nobody there. He says, but on that few days that I spent on the ship, and I can remember when I used to sit in I don't know what's that room, glass room on top, and it used to be pelting, the rain used to be thundering on the windows, and taking the name of Allah, making the zikr of Allah, that sweetness and enjoyment, he said, that I experienced, I can't explain it, they're the best days of my life. So he says that, and I attribute that all only to the barakat of keeping connection and spending some time in the company of Hazrat Shaykh Ma'az Zakira Rahmatullah Ali before I came back. So we connect ourselves to the pious, we connect ourselves to the mashayikh. This will give us courage. This is what we need. We need courage. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person, the example of good company is like you stay with a person who is selling perfume. If you're not going to buy perfume, you're still going to get the smell of perfume. And bad company is like you're staying with a blacksmith. If you're not going, your clothes are not going to get burnt, but then the smoke will still come on your clothes. So keep company with the correct people, connect ourselves to the correct people, and inshallah, with this we'll get himmat and courage. That is what we need, himmat and courage. Make tilawat of Quran, look after our gazes, think that Allah is looking at me all the time. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. We all make intention to make amal, inshallah. And Allah ta'ala make our complete tazkiyah and make us from those that are successful.